The complete shutdown of Massachusetts' only nuclear power plant could take decades. The owner says the Pilgrim plant in Plymouth is no longer financially viable and that it will be closed by the middle of 2019. But that is just the beginning of the official decommissioning process. For a perspective on exactly what it means to decommission a nuclear power plant, we're joined this morning by David Lochbaum, director of the Nuclear Safety Program for the Union of Concerned Scientists. Good morning, and thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on the show.
So let's start with this big picture. What must be done to completely decommission a nuclear power plant? And it's a pretty expensive undertaking, isn't it?
It is expensive. One of the first steps in decommissioning is for the owner to go through and survey the plant, both the soil around the plant and the building and structures itself, to basically map out where radioactivity is and in what form it exists. That will then inform decisions about how best to dismantle the plant while properly protecting the public and the workers from the radioactivity.
At other plants that have been decommissioned in the U.S., has radioactivity been found outside the reactor building?
Yes, from underground leaks and spills from pipes that are buried underground or tanks that are partially above ground and below ground, soil around the plant has been found to be contaminated, which required remediation to place that in a safe location.
Any way to know whether that's the case at Pilgrim?
Plants, as a result of past leaks and spills, plants put in more monitoring wells, including Pilgrim, and Pilgrim has found in those monitoring wells radioactivity in underground plumes that reached, so they have had a history of some relatively minor leaks and spills that have to be dealt with.
Energy, the owner of Pilgrim, is in the process of decommissioning another plant. It's also the owner of the Vermont Yankee plant just over the Massachusetts border in Western Mass, which ceased operations at the end of last year. 10 months later, what's the status of that plant right now?
At Vermont Yankee, they're in the process of doing the surveys, mapping out where the radioactivity is and in what form it exists. That will then inform a decision about how to proceed with the next steps, either right away or to wait for up to 5 decades.
Is it possible the company Entergy may try to, for business purposes, link the decommissioning of these two plants, which will be taking place almost all at once?
Because Entergy has two plants facing decommissioning, they may opt to proceed at the same time with both of them. Some other companies that have gone through decommissioning have actually contracted out the decommissioning processes to a third party who specializes in that. Entergy may pursue that option, getting a volume discount with that contractor for handling two different sites, or they may decide to do it in-house since they have two facilities to tackle.
Traditionally at U.S. plants, do the most radioactive materials, the fuel rods, stay on the site of these nuclear plants for a long time before they end up going to disposal elsewhere?
Decommissioning is a bit of a misnomer. It implies that you, at the end of decommissioning, you have a greenfield site that could be used for any purposes after nuclear. In reality, because the federal government doesn't have a place for spent fuel or high-level waste to go, the spent fuel remains on site. Right now, it's for an indefinite period because there's no place for it to go, which puts a burden on the communities. It also puts a burden on the owners because they have to spend about $10 million a year for the care and upkeep of the spent fuel facility.
Well, which I think leads to this question. There are advocates who've been pushing to close the Pilgrim plant for years now, saying it posed a safety threat to the community. In fact, federal inspectors downgraded the plant's safety rating just last month. Does decommissioning the plant in Plymouth guarantee enhanced safety at the site, given the fact that the fuel rods are going to stay there for a long time?
With the permanent closure of a plant and some of the steps that follow that, like removing all the fuel from the reactor vessel, reduce the safety and security threat profile to plant. But the threat level is not zero. There's still a hazard to the community and to workers from the spent fuel that remains on site. Federal regulations attempt to ensure that that risk, even though lowered, is still properly managed with provisions that ensure an adequate level of safety and adequate protection against those wishing us harm.
And does the Union of Concerned Scientists think that the way this works has been adequate to protect neighborhood safety, so to speak?
We would like to see two changes made. One is to ensure that the transfer of irradiated fuel from spent fuel pools into dry storage occurs sooner rather than later, because dry storage is a safer and more secure place to store that material. In addition, we'd like to see the dry storage facilities enclosed within at least an earth berm to make the facilities a little more secure against sabotage.
David Lochbaum, thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition this morning. And given that the Pilgrim plant will be in the news for a long time, we'll perhaps be speaking again.
I appreciate the opportunity, Bob. I'm glad to help anytime I can.
David Lochbaum is director of the Nuclear Safety Program for the Union of Concerned Scientists. We've been speaking with him about the decommissioning process for the Pilgrim nuclear plant in Plymouth.